Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. Comedian Lisa Lampanelli is known as the Queen of Mean, but if you think that's all she is, then you're in for a big surprise. The insult comic is perhaps most famous as a regular on the Comedy Central roasts, where she mocked celebrities like Pamela Anderson, David Hasselhoff, and William Shatner, and who once had a chance to roast a man who would become a Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump, and was once a contestant on his program, Celebrity Apprentice. Lampanelli will return to Milwaukee this Saturday for a performance at the Pabst Theater, but first she joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about her return to Brew City and her work as a roaster.
Lisa Lampanelli, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
And see how nice I am.
You are so nice. You know, my 12-year-old self, I'm sure, is incredibly jealous of me. I used to love those roast shows.
Oh, my God. The roasts, let me tell you something. They are so much fun. And when you have, like, when you can take a joke, it's really fun. When you're in the mood that you can't take a joke, you kind of come home battered and broken.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but, you know, thank God they really are what put me on the charts. There's something that about my performance on them, the people started to come out and see me. I was like, okay, this is cool. It translates into a career.
Well, it's something that really fits with your style of comedy. I have a friend who I went to when I told him I was going to be interviewing you. He interviews a lot of comics, and he told me to find a joke of yours that I found really interesting and ask you what led to it. But as I was going through your sets, I was like, oh, I can't say any of these on the air. I can't, you know.
Yeah.
We're public radio. So how do you describe your comedy in a sort of radio-friendly PG way?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I'm known primarily as an insult comic because I used to love watching the roasts on TV with, you know, the Dean Martin roasts. I mean, this is like in the early 70s, I think. So that's when I would watch them with my parents and be like, oh, I like that style. You know, it just looked like they were all friends and having a good time. So I sort of think that's where that roast style in my comedy comes from. And pretty much make fun of every race, creed, color, sexual abomination, all of it. And kind of people enjoy it anyway, which is bizarre. But I'm lucky enough that people know they can take a joke.
One thing you said in another interview I was reading of yours is part of why people like you and like the style of comedy that you do is because they know you're a nice person.
Right.
Do you think that's an integral part of how you sell your comedy?
I know it's absolutely, you know, true what you say, except I don't think it involves, quote unquote, selling it. Because if you sort of go, I'm going to project that I'm a nice person, so I sell what I'm doing and people don't get mad at me, I think it can't be sort of an effort that is obvious. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be that person, just come from the heart, know you're making fun of people for the right reasons, and then go, oh, okay, you know, whoever gets me, doesn't. You can't look like you're trying to get them to buy it. So I just kind of go with what I know is funny and know in my heart that it's not ill-meant in any way and just go, well, whoever likes me, great. If they don't, they can go see somebody else, which is fine.
There have been a lot of comedians lately who have come out against what they're calling, you know, PC culture, especially when we're looking at college students and young people in general. Do you feel like you've had pushback from audiences in more recent years to your style of comedy?
Oh, not me, because I've been doing this way so long that that's what I'm known for. But I'm sure other people are noticing it for themselves for the first time because, you know, there's all these things, ban this word, ban that word. And, you know, it seems like every group on the planet has, you know, a bone to pick with comics in some way. But I've been lucky that I think because I was branded myself so many years ago as the person who says everything that they go, well, we'll just leave her alone because that's her act. So, yeah, I'm lucky enough that even if they did come after me, I probably wouldn't notice or pay attention because I just know myself enough, well enough to go, you know what, I'm doing it because I want to bring people together instead of separate them.
I mean, what do you think of PC culture as someone who definitely goes against the grain in that way?
Oh, well, clearly it doesn't affect me, meaning I don't like it, but I refuse to let it define my comedy or who I am. You know, offstage is a whole different story. You know, I'm very careful with language and things like that just because in my gut I'm a different person than I am on stage. I'm kind of get it all out on stage, then in real life I cringe whenever I hear something that's kind of horrible. So I think, you know, it's a shame that it goes too far either way, like politically correct style. You know, there is some validity. Like if I hear somebody saying a racial slur in life, I'm like, oh my God, that they weren't kidding. But I think we all know who's kidding and who isn't.
It's interesting that you bring that up, that in real life, it does sort of bother you.
Oh, yeah.
One of the people who you roasted was Donald Trump.
Right.
In many ways, his candidacy is based on these sort of anti-PC principles. Do you think that his sort of anti-PC movement intersects with what you do on stage?
Well, I always joke about it. Ever since he made those statements about Mexicans, I was like, wow, I can't believe he stole my act. You know, the difference is I don't mean it, but I guess he does. Part of me wonders if he means anything he says because he just likes to get a rise out of people. I mean, I once asked him during The Apprentice, you know, something about his hair because, you know, it's awful, as you know. Every living, breathing person with sight knows it's pretty terrible. And he said something about it keeping people talking. So part of me thinks a lot of it is, you know, reaction, getting reaction from people. But it seems like his fans like people who speak plainly, meaning they aren't all politically correct in their, you know, they're not a politician, quote unquote. They're going out of their way to be liked by everybody. He kind of just doesn't care. Like part of me's like, I kind of like that in him, but I hope he doesn't mean some of the stuff he says.
Yeah. Did you imagine that one day this man would be running for president?
Oh, God, no. I was like, and why isn't he picking me as his vice presidential running mate? Let's go.
So you have a new show coming to Broadway, right?
It's off Broadway, but it's going to be announced next week. The theater is going to be in the fall. And it's so exciting because I've been working on some iteration of this show for 6 years. And it's just, it's so great. It's called Stuffed, and it's a play about, a four-woman play about food and eating and body image, sort of like a Vagina Monologues, but about food and weight and things like that.
What was interesting, I was reading your Twitter, and it actually has some roots in public radio, right?
Well, I did do a few public radio things. I did The Moth. I did a couple of NPR shows, which I always consider those an honor because I'm like, who would have ever dreamed I'd be on NPR or public radio at all, you know? So I'd love, you know, the fact that I started talking real about the issue of, you know, body acceptance and food issues, but in a funny way enough where those people talked to me, interviewed me, and then sort of this show grew out of all those stories. So I'm so excited because it says so much that you can't say with just pure stand-up, yet it still helps you laugh but feel at the same time, which I love. I like combining both.
What's the difference between touring and doing stand-up and then doing a show like this where you're going up every night, same material? So much of your stand-up is improv. This
right.
must be...
I guess I'll let you know because I was looking at the calendar, and it's funny, when you want something really bad and then it finally happens, you're so psyched, and then you go, oh, wow, now this means I have to do the same show 8 times a week. Holy crap. So I think it'll be cool because I mean the material so deeply, and I love what it says, and I also love making people laugh in a deeper way. But I don't know what it's like to be on stage every night anymore. Those days have been long gone. But thank goodness I believe in it enough to try it.
I was listening to another interview. I believe it was on Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And you apparently had another title picked out, which I can't say on the radio because of the FCC. But it involves the C word and refers to what my mother would call lady parts.
Oh, God, that's so cute.
Now, that's a word a lot of women won't say. Why do you use it so much in your comedy?
Oh, my God, I love that word so much because I like taking any word that people hate because they hate it randomly. Like, there's tomorrow we could declare that the word orange is horrifying and what it means. I mean, it is pretty horrible when you look at Donald Trump's face. You go, wow, orange is not the new black. It's the new ugh. So it's we could take any word and just assign some meaning to it. You know, a lot of words, it just depends on how we're brought up. And, you know, in England, you can say the C word every other day, and they're just like, oh, that's like saying, you know, something pretty mild in America. So I just like the word because it at first just startled people, but then it's like, why is that word so bad after all? Because it's just another word. And like many great comics before, like Lenny Bruce and Richard Pryor, they talk about how if you take the meaning out of the word and you use it a lot, it really loses all its hate behind it. So I just enjoy poking fun at those things also. I just, political correctness is so hilarious to me. Like, I really crack up every time I see a TV commercial and they'll have two couples behaving a certain way, and it's always the white couple who's acting stupid and goofy and the black couple who are smarter. Like, there's an insurance commercial now like that. And just like, really? Why are they always the subject of a joke now? Because it's almost like we're trying retroactively to be nicer to other groups. And that's cool, but it doesn't work. You can't make up for a horror like slavery by making the white person look stupid on an insurance commercial. You know, and also they'll always have a man and a woman on TV, a husband and wife, and the husband's the goofy one who makes the mistake, and the wife's like, you know, smart and lording it over him. You could never have a commercial now where the woman's looking like an idiot and the guy's like, see, I told you, you dummy. It's so funny, man. Like, we're so opposite. There's no telling, you know, what group of the day we have to make look better than the other one.
So you're coming back to Milwaukee.
Yes.
We're very excited to have you. But when you come to a place like Milwaukee, which may be a bit more conservative than other cities, you know, how do people respond to stuff?
Well, I'm lucky because I already have my fan base, and those are the ones who come out. And if new people come, it's people who know my comedy enough to spend the money to see me without any attachment to what comes out. Meaning, if you're playing a comedy club, you know, they're kind of people who wander in, say, hey, let's go for a night out. But with someone like me who plays theaters, they go, okay, that's a deliberate buy, and I'm going to go there, and I know her already. And I've been very lucky that the people who turn up really get it and buy into it, and there's very few people who sort of maybe define how the town is looked at.
A lot has happened to you since the last time you were in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, oh my God. Lost 107 pounds, kept it off for 4 years, got a divorce, I wrote the play. Yeah, I've been very lucky. Everything's just sort of going the way it's supposed to.
Do you feel like your comedy is different than it was 5 years ago?
I think people don't notice it, but it is. It's like they sense I'm more open and I talk more about, sort of tell funny stories about myself and my ex-husband and his new wife and the divorce process and the weight loss and, you know, all my sort of history with the horrors of dieting and, you know, things like that. So I'm telling longer stories, but luckily for me, the audience learns more about me, but they don't go, wow, that's more of a long story because I put so many punchlines within it. So I've been able to be more open about myself without people going, oh, now I'm paying for it in laughs per minute.
Yeah. Well, Lisa Lampanelli, for the Queen of Mean, you've been a very lovely lady.
Oh, thank you. No, that's what I go, get it all out on stage, then be nice. And it's funny, people are like, oh, man, you're a different person than you were on the radio or in life. And I'm like, thank God. I don't think I would have survived if I wasn't. So, yeah, come out on, I think I'm there on Saturday. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
So just come out and we'll jam. You'll see the crazy LL.
Well, thanks so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you, honey.
Stand-up comedian Lisa Lampanelli will perform at the Pabst Theater this Saturday. She talked with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and you can find more information at WUWN.com.